Okay. Not sure what multi-pin is. Because okay, so you should have the right sound.
Yep, I yeah, I'm recording.
Right, well, I'm here with Casey. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. So we polled the Ecom Convert group and we had a few answers actually. Let me pull that up. So a few topics that you suggested. I'm just going to list them out here. So flows, like email flows without breaking our back, email autoresponders, and then how to confidently send an email broadcast campaign to get some good results, and then how to warm up an email list, and why new and old businesses neglect email marketing. And the first topic actually was the most popular, right? With the most votes. So the email flows, email sequences. So we're going to talk about that today. So since you're the expert, like I just mentioned, before we start recording, I'll let you start the topic. I'll ask some questions. I'm very interested in learning more about this, and I'm sure the audience is going to be too. So, but I'm going to let you sort of lead through it. So go ahead. The floor is yours.
Yep, sure. So for in terms of email flows, when e-commerce brands, e-commerce business owners, if they ask me if they want to get started with email marketing, I would suggest the four foundational flows, which are welcome new subscribers flow, and then the second will be cart recovery flow, and then the third one will be browser abandonment flow, and the fourth one will be like a post-purchase customer thank you flow. So in for these four flows, they basically cover four the stages of buying behavior. So think of it like, okay, from top of the funnel, middle of the funnel, and then to bottom of the funnel. Yep. And then when it comes to, I will share a few steps like how you can actually plan and structure the strategy for each flow. So feel free to stop me if you have any question. So the first step I would suggest will be you have to define the purpose of the flow. Because if you define the purpose of the flow, you will have a more clear answer on how to tweak the copy to match the audience, to match their behaviors, also match the timing, especially for abandoned cart recovery flow. We have to match everything according to the purpose of the flow, right? And then for the second step, I would suggest define your incentive according to your product profit margin. So let's say, for example, for abandoned cart recovery flow, the incentive you need to be higher than the discount or incentive from the welcome email flow. Because, like as I mentioned before, the abandoned cart flow is considered as the middle of the funnel. So if they are going through the middle of the funnel and they still haven't purchased yet, so we need to use a better incentive to win them back and recover their sales. Make sense so far?
It does. I'm just wondering, so you're saying the incentive should be larger than the value of their cart? So can you clarify that a little bit?
Yep. So let's say for welcome email flow, right? Welcome email flows means you will have a exit intent pop up on the website, and then you capture some of the website visitors into your email subscribers, and then they enter this flow called email welcome email flow. So this is considered as pre-purchase flow. So you are actually providing incentive to encourage them to become your subscribers. So that's what I mean by the first incentive, the first stage of incentive. And then when they already subscribe to the welcome email flow, they have been through that and they already got the, let's say, 10% discount from the welcome email flow, and they still haven't used that for the for their cart, for their purchase, then they abandon their cart. So then when they are in the middle of the funnel, like the abandoned cart flow, then we need to have, let's say for welcome email flow, we already use 10%, and then for cart recovery flow, we need to use 15% in that case, for example. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that was okay. Interesting. So you're giving them a bit more incentive to try to convince them to purchase. Okay. Because if you were to give them another 10%, I mean, or to just remind them that they have 10%, that wouldn't be enough to convince them.
So it will still work for 10%, but it might not work as well as if you are giving them better incentive, like better bundles, like free shipping, even stuff like that. Yeah. So, any question?
No, that's good so far.
Yep. So for the next step, I would suggest you will need to look at your types of email templates, because after you already define your purpose of each flow, like each flow, we use different kind of email template. Let's say for example, for welcome email flow, we generally use more image heavy, graphics heavy kind of email templates because they just subscribe and they are high engaged. They engage. They are highly engaged with the email template. So in that case, more heavy, more image heavy or graphics heavy inside the email template will not affect the inbox rates. So, but on the other hand, for abandoned cart flow, we will need to use a lot more simple kind of email template. For example, I have consulted with a lot of e-commerce brands in the past, and I saw they usually use a lot of social media icons, navigation bar buttons within their abandoned cart email template. And that's the main problem why their product recovery rates is not that high, because within that email template, they have a lot of different distraction. Instead of just focusing on one call to action and ask them to go back and finish their purchase. So I'm sure you might agree on this when it comes to a UI, UX element, because it is almost the same inside the email template where purpose-driven abandoned cart email template, we want to try our best to stick to one call to action if possible, and then limit the use of social media icons. And then that's the difference between email templates. And for browse abandonment, it is the same as the cart recovery email template. And then for post-purchase customer thank you email template, we can also use a more image-heavy, graphics-heavy kind of email template, because in that way, we can convey more of the brand image, brand voice through graphics, and then as well as the brand style, speaking style. Does that make sense?
So you're saying image-heavy for the welcome email flow, and then more simple and, you know, just one call to action, that sort of thing for the card recovery, just to tell them, hey, that's the action you need to take right now.
Yes.
And then you're saying for the step after that, which was?
Browse abandonment.
Post-purchase?
Post-purchase and browse abandonment. So, yeah, okay. Post-purchase, yeah. So
for post-purchase, more image-heavy again.
Yeah, exactly. Because they already finished their purchase. So you can send them about the brand story, what we are about, kind of emails, and then you can convey that through more of the graphics design in the email templates.
Thanks. So my question then would be why the welcome email flow can be image heavy, whereas, I mean, you're still trying to get them to take an action to go on and purchase potentially and use that 10% discount, let's say. So why is it okay then to be more image heavy, whereas when you're recovering the cart, it's not?
Because when they click through the ads and land on your website, they are highly engaging. That time frame, they are very engaging. Their behavior is highly engaging. So if they see the pop-up and subscribe to that, and they are also highly engaging. So when they're highly engaging, the first email tends to not land into spam. The inbox rate is higher when compared to later of the funnel. Does that make sense?
Right. So you can get away with more because they're more engaged in the process and more likely to actually read the email.
Yeah, more likely to open the email and boost your open rates. And that's the reason.
Okay, interesting. Yep. Do you happen to have any examples you can show us? Can you share your screen, or should we maybe just post some examples later, or not at all?
Currently, I didn't prepare any of those at all. So after that, I can just post it down the videos.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if after, you know, below this video, we could share maybe an example of image heavy versus simple, what that looks like. I think that'd be really interesting to be able to visualize the differences, if possible. That'd be great.
Yeah, Yep, for sure. So after that, the next step after defining the email template, I would suggest like also think about how many emails within the automation flow. So to think about that, we need to follow the principles. Also think about how aggressive you want to be. So for some of my clients, they prefer to be more aggressive. They care more about the conversion rate. So for abandoned cart, I suggest to use 4 to 6 email within that flow. If the client, they want to be more laid back, they don't want to be that aggressive, then they can go with 4 emails. So with 4 emails, the first email, I would suggest to send within 15 to 30 minutes after they left their cards. And then the second email sent between 4 to 6 hours. And then the third email sent after 12 hours. And then the fourth email sent after 1 day. So why we need to send within 15 to 30 minutes? Because within that time frame, we want to re-engage them back to their card on the most and on the high engage time frame. Does that make sense? Because we have speed test this a lot of time between the first email sent after 1 hour and the first email sent between 15 to 30 minutes. And end up, the first email sent after 15 to 30 minutes converts way better than the one that sent 1 hour after. So most of the sales will recover within the first email. That's the idea.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I actually saw some data on that. I posted something about it in the group a long time ago. I would have to pull up the post and the data, but it was something like that. Whereas, I don't remember if it was 15 minutes or 1 hour, but it was, you have to send it pretty quickly.
Yep. And, because after they left their card, within that 1 hour period, they are most engaging. So send between 15 to 30 minutes, the first email will usually convert well.
So when you're saying being more or less aggressive, what do you mean by that? You're saying 4 to 6 emails for aggressive, let's say 4 emails for less aggressive. What does that mean to be aggressive?
When I mean aggressive, that means you want to, yeah, you really want to recover their sales. Yeah.
But shouldn't everyone, shouldn't every brand want to recover the sales? Shouldn't every brand be aggressive in that case? Or it depends on their brand?
It really depends on the clients. I work with some clients, they are afraid to send too many emails and make their subscribers angry. So in this case, we really have to think about, we want to find the balance between the brand image versus the conversion rate. So we not only we won't burn out the subscribers very fast, we will also keep our decent conversion rate and generate the sales. So when it comes to more aggressive, then it means higher frequency within short period of time, higher frequency of sending emails.
So it just depends on how much you want to piss off your customers or your prospects, how much you're willing
how
to
much you are afford, how much you can afford to piss them off or have them unsubscribe. Because the idea is to replenish your email list faster than you lose them.
Right.
Because eventually they will unsubscribe anyway. So that's why we need to find a balance between them.
So how do you find that balance? So you just test it out or you decide based on the brand and
we need to,
your level of tolerance to risk that they want to take?
Yeah, first of all, we will ask, let's say for a client, we'll ask, okay, do you prefer to be more aggressive? For more aggressive, we will send more, we will send high frequency of emails and we will test from that and see the unsubscribe rate. For some brand, for their audience, they can tolerate higher frequency of emails and they'll actually open a lot of emails. But for some brands, they will have high unsubscribe rate if we do that. So we, in this case, we really have to test the frequency before we actually know the answer.
Interesting.
Yeah. So for the next one, it is related to, for the next step is related to the previous one. So we need to define how many retargeting emails and upsell emails within the flow. What I mean by that, like for example, for welcome email flow, for post-purchase flow, let's say they already make the purchase, they are in the post-purchase customer thank you flow, and we can actually upsell them according to what they already bought to and upsell them to relevant collection. And then from time to time, we can automate the flows, automate the email and send them let's say, bestsellers of the week, something that they might like according to their behavior. So that's what we need to think of. Also, with this, we also need to think about the brands if they have a lot of products SKU within their store. If they have only have 4 to 5 products, then it doesn't make sense to have that many upsell emails or product recommendation emails, because eventually you will show off your products and they will just get tired of that and burn up.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. You can't upsell 10 products if you only have 3 products in your store.
Yeah.
I actually saw an experiment where they had, I think, three or four flavors of ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
And they would upsell, I think, 1 or 2 other flavors when the customer would purchase one. So it's still possible to upsell if you have very limited products.
It's still possible.
But, yeah.
But
interesting.
But lower frequency of that, like I would say. Yep.
Okay. So how many upsell emails or cross-sell emails would you have in that sequence then?
I would suggest at least two, and between 1 to 2 weeks apart. 1 to 2
different
weeks
products?
Interval. In different products, of course, yeah. After they already purchased, they have received the product, then you can try to convince them what and recommend them what else you can offer in terms of products, like in the next 7 to 15 days.
So what we're talking about now, these are upsell emails are not part of the card recovery sequence, right? That's the post-purchase sequence, which can extend to a longer period of time, right? For a couple of weeks after the purchase or a few weeks after.
Yeah, you can drip, it's like an automation drip. You can slowly drip and send more product recommendation. You can even include some of the content email, like brand story, like the introduction about the team from the brand. So it's like slowly every week you send 1 or 2, some depends on the brand. So this is part of the example of the post-purchase flow. Does that make sense?
It does. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else you'd like to share with us that you think could be valuable?
Yep. So these are the 5, 6 steps to how you can actually look at your current brand and determine your email flow strategy, like to welcome, abandon cart, browse abandonment, customer thank you, and look at what kind of incentive you can offer and just start using that. And if you are using Klaviyo as the autoresponder, then they have a lot of pre-built kind of default flows that you can start building and just use their settings from there and use what I just recommend, the principles, and just start building. And you will have a more clear of like a direction to go for. This is for flows.
Is Klaviyo the tool that you recommend the most?
Yep. So I do have two. The first one, the top one, definitely for e-commerce brand, I would definitely recommend Klaviyo. And then for the second one, I recommend Omnisend. But for Klaviyo, they have a lot of advanced features and like track mark expand, track your inbox rate, advanced segmentation that you can export and import to Facebook ads for retargeting. And then for stuff like that, and you can integrate with Facebook ads even and automate that cart recovery retargeting as well. But Klaviyo is kind of like a more expensive card too. If they can afford it, definitely go for it. You can, if done right, they can definitely generate return on investment fast within a short period of time. So, but for Omnisend, it's from the lower pricing side. If they're on a budget, then go for Omnisend. But the features by Omnisend, they are not as good as Klaviyo, just to be upfront.
So in your experience, how effective is email? I sort of know the answer to that, but I think the conversion rate is generally super high for email, right? Because it's already people interested in your brand, already opted in, or already customers, et cetera. So how good is email? How worth it is it?
Yep. So email marketing is kind of like a retention marketing. It is it's kind of different from paid ads, like Facebook ads, because Facebook ads is front end and email marketing is back end. Back end is where you actually nail down the retention rates, increase the customer lifetime value, and increase your average order value. So generally speaking, with email marketing, you can generate an extra 10% to 30% or more extra sales organically from email. And that's just like excluding all the platform costs, and it's kind of like a free marketing platform that you can send to them again and again. Because for paid ads, you are already paying for the website visitors. Why not turn some of that visitors into email subscribers? And you can actually market to them again and again. And eventually, you can build long-term relationship to become your most loyal customers.
Yeah. I would assume that most e-com brands in this group are actually doing email, right? They're actually, they have email sequences set up. But if they don't, they definitely should.
Yeah, right? definitely. Because definitely if they are just having the email subscribers sitting there and not sending anything, you are just letting them die, I would say, because eventually they will turn very cold because you never touch base again with them again. And if you never send email to them at all, then it is harder to warm up your account, also harder to re-engage them back. So
yeah,
I would suggest start building the momentum, start sending at least once a broadcast campaign per week or one flow, email automation flow, and start building that. It is better to have nothing running at the back end.
Excellent. Was there any other advice, wonderful advice that you'd like to share, or does that pretty much cover what you wanted to talk about today?
I think there's a topic where people also work for, like how to plan like an email broadcast effectively and how to generate the conversion. So I do have a few steps to share, like how you can actually start mapping out the strategy for your email broadcast campaign. So first of all, the first step, I will define the audience type. For e-commerce brand, they have to know their demographic. Let's say for older demographic, younger demographic, or different kind of industry demographic, they kind of behave differently when it comes to open email timing, sending time, when is the best sending days, and what kind of email copy would make them convert or speak to them. So that's the first and most important step for the first step, like defining your audience or demographic. And then,
can you actually give us an example of a difference between young and old in terms of when they open or how fast they open, et cetera? What's the difference there?
Yep. So for younger demographic, they usually open emails throughout the week. They are mostly engaged throughout the week. Like let's say for working adults between 20 to 30 years old, that's basically what I see happen often within my clients' database. So for older demographic, like let's say you are selling supplements, health supplements to older people, older working adults, then they tend to open their email later of the week, like weekends, that you will see high open rates on during weekends for that kind of demographics. And then, yeah, for the second step, I would suggest define your content, because what I believe in is that we have to also add value to the subscribers, to the customers, because we cannot send promotional emails all the time. Like you eventually get tired of your brands. So because if you can implement like content type of email, like articles within that, blog posts, like engaging valuable article that can actually add value to your customers, then I would suggest combining promotional with content type of emails within your campaign strategy. Like for example, let's say you are sending 3 email broadcast campaign per week, and I would suggest you do 2 content emails per week and 1 promotional. So it will be 1 promotional, 2 content emails, or 2 promotional and 1 content emails. At least you are engaging them with your content. Any question?
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, you want to give them value as opposed to always trying to sell them something. I mean, yeah. It's like in the group, right? If I were to pitch my services all the time as saying, hey, hire me, here's this guy, hire me, that people would just leave the group, right? I mean, they just want something mm-hmm. for themselves to help them. They want value. So yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
Actually, right now, 90% of the e-commerce brands out there, they are not doing this. Like in terms of, because I subscribe to a lot of e-commerce brands to just see what they are doing with their broadcast campaign. What I see is that 90% of them, they are just straight up promotional campaign all the time. Like within a week, 3 to 4 promotional campaigns within a week. And yeah, if you implement content type of emails, but like valuable content in your email campaign, then definitely you instantly stand out among the rest of the 90% of the e-commerce brands out there. No matter how big they are, if they don't know how to add value to customers and you know, then definitely you will just stand out among them. That makes sense.
Yeah, it's always amazing how common sense is not very common.
Yeah.
So think simple things like, hey, you need to give them value and actual content that they will enjoy. That seems like common sense to me, but it's not that common.
Yeah, it's not that common.
Big brands. Yeah.
True. Yeah. So for the next step, I would suggest to segment your audience into those who engage the email in the last 1 to 50 days. What I mean by engaged, I mean by those who open email in the last 50 days. Because if you send to those who open email outside of the 50 days period, they are less likely to open your email again. And if you still send to them, your open rates, your inbox rate will significantly drop because of them. So I would suggest a segment, send to the specific segment, those who engage, and send to them. And you keep your open rates and they will continue to engage.
So you stop messaging people that opted in more than 50 days ago?
Not really opt in more than 50 days ago. Let's say they more than 50 days, like within the 50 days, they never open the email. Like within the last 50 days, they never open any email at all. But they open email in once of the lifetime in the database. And then if we still send to them, our campaign will less likely to get less inbox rate, less open rates, and that will affect our inbox rate to the engaged subscribers and to those who actually want to see our email and purchase through our emails. That's why I mean by separating those who actually engage with your email and those who are less likely to engage. Does that make sense? So for those who are less likely to engage, we will have some kind of re-engagement flow where we show them some kind of giveaway incentive and try to re-engage them back through emails and have them open the emails again. So that's basically the idea.
Okay, so the ones that have engaged with your emails in the past 50 days, you do the normal flow, if you will,
mm-hmm.
the promotions and the content, and the ones that have not engaged in the past 50 days, you try to re-engage them with something that will catch their attention or something to bring them back into the sequence.
Okay. With different strategy, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So
makes sense.
For the next step, I would also define the sending frequency. Like this will go back to the topic where I say, think about how aggressive you want to go. Like let's say, if you want to go like 4 email campaigns, broadcast campaign per week, you can, but you will burn out your email subscribers faster. But unless you have high website traffic volume, then you can replenish your email list faster than you lose. So in that case, then I would suggest if you want to, then you can go with aggressive side with more higher conversion rate, higher sales. But also think about how long you... Like how often do you send email in the past? If you haven't been sending emails in the past 1 year or a few months, then I wouldn't suggest just go straight and send 4 email campaigns per week, because they will just get your email flag marked as spam or just bad inbox rate overall. So if you haven't been sending emails at all, then I would suggest just slowly start with one email campaign per week and start from there and see the reaction of of your audience. And then for the next week, you can try to go with two email campaigns per week, and then the third week, just increase that. Or if you see lower open rates and higher unsubscribe rate, then just lower down your frequency. So that's the idea on how to think about how to plan your sending frequency, because it takes a few months of email sending to actually fully warm up your inbox rate or sending reputation, but it takes less than a month of not sending to actually ruin all your hard work. So if you already have the momentum going on, just keep it going.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Is there another step after that?
Yep. So the next step will be defining best sending days and best sending times. But for best sending days, you actually have to test it, because that's kind of tricky to actually find which day the open rates will be the highest. So I would suggest for best sending days, start sending and see and start to see your data and analyze that and see which day will be the best to send. When it comes to sending times, then I would suggest like 6 a.m., 2 p.m., and then 6 p.m., and then 9 to 10 p.m. So the logic behind that is that 6 a.m., they wake up and they prepare to go to work, and then 2 p.m. is lunchtime, and then 6 p.m., they finish their work and going home, and they check their phone. And then for 9 to 10 p.m., they check their phone again before they go to sleep. So usually these four periods will works the best, I would say, for the best sending times. And then for the last step, I would suggest copywriting. I'm not a copywriter myself. I outsource to my in-house copywriter, but it's important to understand your demographics and see if they are younger or older, what kind of industry they are in, and actually write the copy and personalize it and actually speak to them. And in that way, your conversion rate will be higher.
Okay, so six steps there to figure out your email sequences, your email flows without breaking their back.
Yep, I try my best to keep it as simple as possible, but hopefully this doesn't confuse them.
No, I think that's good stuff. I think it's simple enough. I did take some notes, actually. I thought it was interesting to try to capture some of that. I might post just my notes below the video just to remind them of some of these ideas. But I think that's good. I think that covers this first topic. Thank you for taking the time to do this.
Yeah. Do you have any specific question that you want to learn more about? I'm happy to share.
I did ask questions through it. I would let the audience, like the group, ask their questions that are going to be probably way more relevant than mine. More specific. So I'm going to pause the video and see what the reaction is, if there's any specific questions for them by them.
Yep, I will answer directly in the comment section.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Yep, no problem. Just, yep. All right. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.